Can we ask a little question?
Does Maharaj want to make some comment or something?
I like when he's lying on the bed of arrows. Can you hear me in the back?
Yes.
When he's lying in the bed of arrows, and you said he's in so much pain. And I didn't know that either, that only the tongue could move. Because I studied that chapter. That's an interesting thing. But there's a verse where it says, I think it's Jivatam Navahaitum Vai. You do not deserve to live. Meaning when he saw Yudhisthira, he thought that his suffering was so great that it would have been less suffering if he died. So I thought that was an interesting factor, that even though he was in pain, right, and wasn't crying, but when he saw the suffering of Yudhisthira, the tear came from his eyes. So it's so nice, the quality of a Vaishnava.
Thank you. Yeah, so... you decide who speaks.
He's emceeing, so he gets the mic.
Wonderful talks. Thank you so much. You mentioned about Bharata and the circumstances that he was in, and he was there. He was, in a sense, very unfairly accused and under suspicion, and well, the whole city is against him. And it's, he had never done anything. And then you quoted this. Was this from Acharya, or was this from Ramayana itself? This not Ramayana. It wasn't.
It's in Ramayana.
It's in Ramayana. So he's able to say, it's not this person, it's not this person, it's not this person, it's not this person. It's my own. So that's a wisdom that we would like to be able to embrace. That sometimes we find, either in our own life or in the life of someone that we care about, they're in a situation. And you try to explain, the tendency is to say it is this one, and it is their fault, and it is their fault, and it is their fault, and absolutely everybody's fault but my own. Sometimes it's it seems impossible to either apply that in our own life or to help someone else apply that in their life. How does that impossible become possible? What is it that's preventing that? Or is there something we can do or know or understand in our lives to be able to see?
Let's share a Prabhupada story. I think Prabhupada was in Mumbai, Juhu, and there was one lady devotee. She cooked some kachoris. Srila Prabhupada and told the servant to offer them to Prabhupada. So the servant went and offered to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, they look really nice, but I also want to make an experiment whether they stay as fresh, how they taste the next day. So I won't taste it today, you just keep it. So he went and, you know, told this lady devotee that, you know, Prabhupada wants to check the same thing the next day. So she said, fine. So he said, I want to keep it here in the kitchen, in this corner. Tomorrow I'll fetch it. So she said, okay. And he kept it and left. And next day, Prabhupada asked the servant, where is that yesterday's kachori? So servant came to the kitchen. ISKCON temple, you know. If you keep a wristwatch, you'll find it. But if you keep some Mahaprasad, there are very less chances. So he couldn't find it. And he asked this lady, hey, I had kept the kachoris here. What happened? Then how do I know? I mean, you had kept it, and I am busy just doing other things. So you only kept it, so you only figure out. She said, hey, Prabhupada will be very angry. What should I tell him? So she said, you tell Prabhupada, cat has eaten. So she was busy doing something. She just said, the cat has eaten. So he went and told Prabhupada. And then he came down again. So she said, what did Prabhupada say? So he said, Prabhupada said, the one who said cat has eaten, she has eaten. So immediately her response was like from within, how could he say that? I have not eaten, I have not done it. You know, this is too much, this is unjust, this is improper accusation. And then, you know, she was like getting all mental about it. Then she thought, okay, what's the main point? Prabhupada wants the kachori. That's the point on hand. Let me focus on that. Whatever circumstances are going on, let's put that aside. Let's focus on objective. So then she immediately went to the nearby restaurant Govinda's, got some dough, and on the spot made some kachoris, sent it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had 7 of them. And Prabhupada commented, these were better than yesterday's. So many times we are put in circumstances where it appears that my intentions are not understood properly, and you know, it definitely creates pain. So when we go through that pain, the difference between purification and going away from the path is that when we slacken the process. So many times when there are negative circumstances which happen, experiences, we slacken the process. Our enthusiasm goes down. So then we should take shelter of Rupa Goswami's advice. Utsahan, nishchayat, dhairyat. Utsahan means enthusiasm, nishchayat, determination, dhairyat, patience. So therefore, if our expectation about the treatment time is very clear, then we will not be affected again and again, because we have been affected by negativity since many, many lifetimes. To expect suddenly the heart to be filled with forgiveness and tolerance and compassion and everything is not realistic. So the main thing we should do is, whatever come, whatever may happen, let us stay in the association of devotees and continue on with the process. And what Maya will do is try to create doubt within our heart about the association of devotees and inspire us to distance ourselves from the association. So when that happens, then that's Maya's victory. Because she has managed to take the soldier away from the army. The soldier has been isolated. And now, you know, it's very difficult for him to be part of that war. So therefore, the good thing is, even if we lose faith or trust in one Vaishnava or one devotee or have difficulties in one, there are a million others. You know, the good news is the army is huge. Yeah. And it's international. So even if you say, I have lost faith in every devotee in this country, another country. For someone to say that I have lost faith in every devotee in every country on this whole planet, that would be too extreme. So till we have checked out on every country, you know, hope is still there.
So actually, can I ask 2 sub-questions, so one for each of you? So thank you, that was fantastic. The 2 questions are along the lines of seeking guidance from those who are on the path, you know, devotees, so that when we have doubts, when our enthusiasm sags, or, you know, when someone drives us crazy, you know, we can't stand that person's a devotee, you know, we still find the enthusiasm and the determination to continue. That's one question. And the second is, you know, you talked about, you know, if, you know, so you can't, you lose faith in this or that person or group of persons. But sometimes the issue is not with them, it's with me. And, you know, so how do we resolve that? Because, you know, sometimes the tendency is to say, well, you know what, I can't stand going to that temple or that community anymore because, you know, let me try changing. And sometimes the problem isn't with that community, it's actually with ourselves. So if you can speak about both these. The first one is about seeking guidance from the devotees.
Now, some decisions are like, I remember one time somebody asked Ramananda Maharaj about counseling. He said, if we always depend on the counselor, then we become very dependent people. She explained that counselor means one who empowers you to take your own decisions. Because ultimately life leads us to in such a situation where if the guidance is there, that's a luxury. But there are certain decisions where you don't have a time to seek guidance. You're on the vehicle driving, you're on the train. So you have to make your own decisions based upon whatever guidance you have received. Like Prabhupada, when he traveled to America, his spiritual master was not personally present with him in regards to that physical association. So you have to derive that inspiration, what to do, this or that. So similarly, every devotee will go through that situation. If the guidance is there, if the problem has to be solved after some time, we can seek guidance, certainly. But the problem has to be dealt now, immediately, instantly, and there is no one around you. How to do that? The problem is not about, we don't fear taking decisions, we fear failures. Mm-hmm. And therefore we don't want to take any decisions. Mm-hmm. Withdrawal, renunciation, Bhagavad Gita explains, renunciation because it is, one takes to the path of renunciation because it is miserable to execute one's responsibility in the mode of passion. So whether right or wrong, one has to take a decision. Not because we are fearful of taking decision. We take decision because whether there is a good intention and whatever guidance we had, if something comes up good out of it, then credit goes to Krishna. Therefore, it's very interesting that someone villager was telling, he said, there is a happening culture and there is a doing culture. The doing culture is that I am the doer. When you do something successfully, there is pride. When you fail doing successfully, then there is depression. So ahankara gives rise to pride and depression. But if you become one of the instrument in doing something, I am trying to take this decision with the grace of Guru and Krishna, then if it becomes successful, I am simply an instrument. Actually, Krishna is the doer. So you become part of the happening culture. It's happening. It's not your doing. So therefore one should be more in the mode of a part of an instrument. Nimitya bhavasana sachi, Krishna was told that. And therefore in the Bhagavatam Arjuna, when Krishna goes back to the spiritual world, that chapter is very beautiful, first canto, 15th chapter. And everything in his life, directly Krishna's involvement or indirectly Krishna's involvement, he gives all the credit to Krishna. Of course his endeavor was there, but that endeavor is only one part. But the success came because Krishna factor was involved. I think that is what is important lesson, that most of the time we will have to take decisions on our own. Based upon the teachings and guidance which we have received from our teachers, Vaishnavas and the scriptures.
I mean, there's the second half of that. I mean to say of the same point that you were making, that if when you consider yourself instrument only, you're part of a happening culture. Mm-hmm. When the success comes, you give to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And, but still in that same move, when the failure comes,
then you know that I did not take the guidance properly. Then you take the responsibility. So this taking responsibility for our fault and giving credit when we are successful is what is the Vaishnava's quality. Bhakti is not about technical reality, it is devotional reality. Devotional reality is much beyond the technical reality. If we don't go in, therefore Krishna explains to understand what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma, it's very difficult. But if you hear what I speak, then you'll be freed from the reactions of karma. He doesn't say that you'll understand. Because understanding is only possible for God, because He can understand from all dimensions. The problem is you try to understand. One time Prabhupada explained, our process is not to know God, our process is to love God. In loving God, knowing is also more.
about your question.
About, you know, change in circumstances, not necessarily... It's, you know, it may not be the other devotee's problem or community's problem. It may be our own purification that's needed.
Yeah, just one line I would like to read from Prabhupada's purport. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time, despite being a true follower of religious principles. So, very beautiful point Prabhupada is making. So, when we, you know, when we are in this mood of seeking the cause of a problem outside of ourselves, then we are not really, you know, helping our cause of purification, because we are there to purify our own tendencies. So nobody is perfect, so everyone has faults. But if we focus more on how I can get purified and focus on under what circumstances my service can improve, then that would be more healthy for the personal spiritual growth. Otherwise, there is no end to the number of problems we can find in the world outside. So the interesting thing is, you know, if you see Srila Prabhupada, the circumstances under which he wrote these Bhagavatam and made all his plans to come to America was in the midst of the fratricidal war of the Gaudiya Mutt. So practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada, all the great sannyasis whom he revered and whom he had assisted as a grihastha and so many others, they were all in court cases. But Srila Prabhupada at that time knew that my mission is this and I have to do this. Otherwise, there were at least 1,008 excuses for him not to feel inspired to fulfill his spiritual master's instruction, which in 1922 he said, by the way, that property is now ISKCON, the place where Saraswati Thakur met Prabhupada, and the terrace I just visited like a few months ago, and Saraswati Thakur just told him, you preach in the English language. So by 1952, the Gaudiya Mutt already was into so many court cases, so Prabhupada would have easily said that if these people cannot do, and all of their sannyas and this and that, this is what they are doing, who am I? So let me continue my business. So therefore, you know, it depends on our attitude. If we want to be really positive about something, then we'll do the needful. Otherwise, if we don't want to do something, there are hundreds of reasons Krishna can provide. He will provide the intelligence. He will give you ideas. He will give you all the objects. Why I should not do this. Right? So ultimately, we have to decide what I am supposed to do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Could we have one more round of applause? I think both of your approaches to speaking on Shastra, like, very refreshing. Like, it's like I never knew that, I never understood that. You're explaining new things, but in such a clear, practical, wonderful way. It's always a joy to hear from them. So thank you so much for coming. And I was also thinking, you know, next week we begin, again, part of the announcement, next week, at this time, we'll begin the third segment of the Bhagavad series with Divinity and Divine Service with Radha Swami speaking. And one of the early points being made there is that if one serves the great souls, then one develops an affinity for hearing the message of the Lord. And I feel, as I mentioned before, these two, for many, many years, have been like right and left arms for Srila Radha Swami in accomplishing so much service. And I feel like you're living examples of people that have developed that affinity for hearing. And we can sense that by just the depth of their understanding and the ability to explain these points. So I'm so grateful to have you. You must come back again and again. And it just, it's I feel like I'm inspired to increase the depth of our kata here by your presence. So thank you. I'll mention just a few things quickly. I'm going to mention some things. You may not catch the dates or memorize them, but it's all going to be going up on the website very soon. But there's quite a bit happening this month, so I'm just going to go through it quickly. This Thursday, we will have Julian Yashra swinging Radha and Krishna and swinging with Kirtan as part of our Thursday night Kirtan. We think, it's almost confirmed that Radha Swami will be here as part of that program. I don't want to guarantee that right now, but likely by the end of the day we'll have that confirmed that that'll be up. We'll continue with that, Julian Yashra, on Friday night and Saturday night on the roof. So this will be just like, it's really, we want to do a special seva for Radha Muralidhar. We're not going to announce that those programs very broadly, but if you like to, because there's only so many people can fit on the roof. But I have a feeling they'll be very intimate and beautiful evenings. So that's Friday and Saturday. Sunday, Radha Swami will be here speaking at the Bhagavad. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, Gadara Pandit Prabhu will be speaking for the Tuesday next Sangha. Janmashtami will be celebrated here as part of our third annual Lotus Festival. That will be on Friday night, August 15th. Radha Swami will be a special guest speaker. Dhanadhar Swami will be a special guest speaker. We may have, Dhanadhar Swami may present some special small drama, I think. I don't know if it's quite confirmed, but that's a likelihood. That will be a beautiful, beautiful festival where we'll all be able to offer real lotus flowers that we import from India, offer to Radha Muralidhar. The actual Janmashtami day is the following Sunday. Again, Radha Swami and Dhanadhar Swami will be speaking on that morning, so please don't miss that as well. Then the following weekend we have a pumpkin hollow retreat. There might be a seat or two left there. If so, now is your chance to get it. Come speak to us. Then the following Friday after that, on August 29th, will be our Radhastami Festival here. It'll be, again, we'll celebrate this Pearl Festival where everyone has a chance to offer a prayer along with a pearl, and we'll take those pearls and make a beautiful necklace for Srimati Radharani. So that'll be on the 29th of August. I think that's it for now. In the past weeks, we've been passing out these tokens for a discount downstairs. From now on, I believe the idea is just if you get in there before 2 p.m., you get your discount. So you all get your discount. Thank you all so very much. We'll have a little kirtan now. And again, once again, I'm so grateful.